miss that. Now, I'm on the runway again, but I'm not going to sit down as quick this time. Well, thank you, Brother Savage, for inviting me to be here. It's always a joy to come to Jackson, to come to Bethel, be with you and your dear family. And we have some good times together, and he feeds me well. One of my favorite places in all the world, and I have a list of favorites. Having traveled the country as much as I do, I have some places that I say to my wife, you got to go with me there. Not necessarily because of the meeting, but because of a restaurant I found. And in fact, she's been here with me to Jackson. And we like the Casey Jones neighborhood over there and the old country store. And we ate lunch there yesterday, and Brother Savage said to me, I guess it was last night, asked what we want to do for lunch today, and he said, you want to go back over there? And I said, well, let me pray about it 2 or 3 hours, and you know, and I kind of gave him a little bit, but we like that, and he takes good care of me, and I appreciate it. And I'll be looking tonight at the book of Habakkuk. Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. Now, I got a running start on you, and I marked it, so I'm going to talk a little bit, give you time to find it, just to be fair to you. But while you're looking, let me remind you that the National Sword of the Lord Conference, coming up July 20, 21, 22, and 23, just a little over a month from now, and this year we're doing something that we've never done before. We have moved it to Murfreesboro, to the Sword of the Lord Auditorium there in our headquarters buildings, and it's going to be primarily online. Just like we're doing online here, we're going to do online for the conference, 10 o'clock every morning. I'll do my School of the Prophets at 1:30 in the afternoon, where I talk to pastors and other church leaders about church-related things, building church, and then in the evening, two speakers at 7 o'clock. So we'll run the preaching schedule and the music schedule pretty much like we normally do. But the 20 or so workshops that we had planned, we'll not do them because we don't have the classroom space there to do them. And with the distancing, we'll only have room to seat about 150 people. We're going to have about 300 seats by the time we get done with some remodeling we're doing right now. But with the distance, social distancing, we'll only seat about 150, and we're taking reservations for that, taking reservations. And right now, Friday they told me, I think we're within about 14 of having that 150 met. So if you want to get on that list to come, go ahead and call the office over there, and they'll put you on a waiting list once the 150. And if they open up the social distancing, which I doubt, but if they do, then we'll have room for another 150 or so. But it's going to be here close, and I hope if you can, you'll get in on it. And if you can't come, well, tune in online and soak it up, because we do a lot of things that I think will be a blessing to you. In fact, Brother Harper, that you'll hear here in a few minutes, he and I will be the openers on Monday night. So we're kind of getting revved up here tonight, Brother Harper, for what we're going to do on July the 20th, Lord being our helper. And again, Pastor, thank you. Thank you for having me. Thank you for letting me come here. I appreciate it more than you know. And to you other brethren that introduced yourselves a little while ago, I feel a little bad that we can't shake hands and all of that. But your understanding, of course, and we'll look at one another and smile and be friendly in that regard. In Habakkuk, chapter number 3, I read two verses. Habakkuk is referred to as a minor prophet. It's not because that he did unimportant things, but it's just because what he gives us is short. Isaiah is called a major prophet because it's a long book. And book of Habakkuk comes at a time when there were issues, when there were problems, when there were things going on in the nation that did not need to go on. And when we get to chapter 3, You'll see a word there in the first verse that's probably not in your vocabulary, and I'll explain it to you now. And you say, wow, that's Shekinoth. What in the world is that? Well, you're in good company because everybody, including all the so-called experts who've ever asked that, they don't have any clue either. And I'll give you an opinion, but it's strictly an opinion. If you looked at the Hebrew text of chapter 3, you would discover that it's written in poetic form. Not all of Habakkuk is, but chapter 3 is written in poetic form in Hebrew. And it just could be, I think it may be, that this Shekinoth means something that was written poetically but to be sung. And that's just an opinion. It may be 1,000 miles off, but that is my guesstimate. But here are the two verses. A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet upon Shekinoth. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. Now, right in the middle of verse 2, in this prayer, he says, O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. I'm thinking now of a young couple. They meet, they become sweethearts. Ultimately, they walk down the aisle and say their I do's, and they begin to dream the dream of how they're going to spend their lives. They work hard at it. They build a home and have a family. And after a period of years, in the midst of all of that, in the midst of the years, things begin to change. The new wears off. The interest wanes. And they fall out of whatever it was that they fell into earlier. And ultimately, they fail in the midst of the years. Second thought, I know a young preacher. He got called to a church, and he was so excited that the sign out front said pastor and had his name on it, and he worked hard. Oh, he worked hard. There was energy put into the work, and consequently, the church began to grow. They even built some additional buildings. The crowds came nicely. And all of the bills were paid, and I mean, everything was just clicking. But in the midst of the years, the vision began to dim, and they began to coast. And the church became a place primarily of just feeding the fish and cleaning the tank, but little else in the midst of the years. I remember when you could find people all over the place who were dreaming about places like India and China and Japan and Brazil. But in the midst of the years, it has become commonplace to many of us. And we smile at the road-weary missionary who's deputating to get a few measly dollars so that he can get to the place about which he dreams. Well, I remember we used to knock on doors, lots of doors. Oh, but in the midst of the years, I don't do that anymore. I hear it quite often. I mean, that just doesn't work anymore, they say. Oh, I remember we used to have big days. I mean, we used to plan for maybe a big day in the spring and a big day in the fall, and we'd push and we'd get visitors in, and some of them would get saved. I mean, but in the midst of the years, we don't do that anymore. I remember. I mean, we used to get up, open the Bible, and I mean, clean off a spot and throw a holy fit preaching what was in the book. And it didn't matter what page we opened it to. We just preached it all. But in the midst of the years, things changed. I mean, to you pastors and preachers that are here, don't you remember when when we were so tickled to tell people that we had been called. We were dreaming a dream. I mean, we carried our King James Bible unashamedly. But now then it seems like so many people are wanting to be relevant and make connections. Ooh, those words bug me. And, I mean, back before the years wore us down, I mean, we came to church, we didn't have what I call rinky-dink and honky-tonk music. We didn't have that. I mean, we sang those blessed hymns that had a message to them. I mean, we even had standards for our workers. I mean, we were not afraid. I mean, our folks were not afraid to set a godly example. But now in the midst of the years, we've come to a place where that in many, many of our churches, to borrow a scriptural phrase, they're teaching for doctrines, the commandments of men. You say, how's that? Well, let me tell you what I hear. Don't you judge me. Don't judge me. let me tell you what I hear. Don't tell me what to do. No. Another one just like it. Don't preach to me now. Don't preach to me. Or they'll say, don't you name names. Don't you name names. Don't get negative, Pastor. Oh, don't get negative. I mean, they'll say things like, you know, we need to be dialoguing with folks. And if we get together, then we can go together. I mean, those are the kind. I mean, I hear them say, "Oh, you know, any church will do." And I hear them say things like, "Now, you know, we don't want our pastor to be in charge." Somebody is. You say all of that stuff is being said by church people? Yes. And for a crowd that tells me all the time they don't want rules, they sure do have a lot of rules they've invented. What happened in the midst of the years? Contemporary became cool. You know, I don't understand these folks who want to have cool church. I've been working all my life to keep church warmed. I mean, to get it hot. They want it cool. Becoming relevant to the culture has become such a big thing. The charismania has swept the country. And now then this so-called praise and worship has taken center stage in the midst of the years. Well, in the midst of the years, a lot of violent storms blow through and they create troubled seas. And so often the trusted anchors have been stored in dry dock. And the mainsail has not been hoisted up on the mast. And the old ship that we've trusted so long has lingered in shallow waters. The payload has been tossed overboard and much of the crew has gone AWOL. Consequently, a whole generation standing on shore, they're watching, they're wondering. They've never seen a great ship ride out a storm. They've never seen a great ship sail safely into the home port. Because in the midst of the years, the good things, the right things, have gone missing. Habakkuk said, "O Lord, revive thy work." He's saying, get us back. Get us right. Put it back where it needs to be. Whatever has slipped away, dear God, pull it back in the midst of the years, in the midst of the years, right here in the middle of all of this mess. He said, "Oh God, make yourself known and wrath and judgment coming." Dear God, he's saying, "Please, please, remember mercy. We need your mercy." And so right about this time, in this little book of Habakkuk, an alarm goes off. and a full alert sounded. And there are some things here that help me, and I hope help all of us. For example, you look back to chapter 1 and verse 1, and I'm going to say to you that in the midst of the years, there's a preacher here who sees further than his peers. Chapter 1, verse 1, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. He saw things nobody else saw. He was able to look beyond the next ridge, the next rise in the land. He was able to look through the fog. He was able to see beyond the river where others could not see. He had a burden that others did not possess. And in this day, whether it be your pastor here, any one of these preachers, any one of us, I mean, the preacher better see further than the average person can see. He needs to see what God has said, get God's understanding on things, and see beyond the immediate situation. We're not just posing questions, we're looking for answers. We're not just analysts. We can analyze all day long, but we need to get beyond the talking stage. We need to get to the place where we plug in some things that we know are going to work. They're going to be right. They're going to do for us what needs to be done. People walk through these doors, walk through the doors of every church, whether you're in a big metropolis somewhere or in some rural environment. There are people walk through your doors probably every week of the year. They're carrying heartaches. They're carrying hurts. They've got baggage that probably a lot of people don't even know about. Maybe nobody knows about it. And instead of appeasing the culture, instead of soft peddling the truths of God, oh, listen, like Habakkuk, every one of us, we need to stand up and we need to hold high the banner of the Lord and make the truths of God so clear, so plain, that it'll be understood by the little children, second and third grade. In the midst of the years, the preacher needs to see further than his peers. If you look at chapter 1 and verse 12, in the midst of years, guess what? God is still God. Verse 12 says, art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, mine Holy One? Brother Harper and I were chatting here a few minutes ago, and thinking about some time years ago, and I mentioned, I think yesterday, 44 years ago, I made the choice to step out of some things that I was involved in, denominational-wise, and became an independent Baptist. Thanks to the counsel and the prompting and the chiding of Dr. John R. Rice through the pages of our newspaper. And I made that leap. I made that leap. I'd been pastoring the convention a while. But I made the leap. Came out. Never have regretted that. Now, when I stepped out by faith, I was leaving a crowd that all at once didn't want anything to do with me, and stepping into a crowd where nobody knew me. But let me tell you, I had people tell me, you're gonna starve. I had one denominational executive tell me, he said, we'll smear you so bad, we'll see to it that you never pastor another church of any kind. But let me tell you what I discovered. There's a God in heaven. There's a God in heaven. And if we lean with Him, if we stand with Him, if we do with Him what we ought to do, He never, ever leaves us or forsakes us. Our children did not go hungry. Our dog did not go hungry. Because God is still God. The God of Dr. John Rice is my God. The God of 100 years ago is still God Almighty today. I'm telling you, I read those great stories about Spurgeon and Moody and Billy Sunday and all of them, and I tell the stories and rejoice in them and thank God for their ministries. But listen, I make a note and I say, the God that they served is the God that I served, and the prayers that they prayed are prayers that I can pray, and the message they preached is a message I can preach, and the folks who were hungry then are hungry now, and we can do today what they did in those days. The days of God's blessing are not past, because the God who is God is still God. Look at chapter 3 and verse 6. In the midst of the years, the mandates of God have not expired. Verse 6, chapter 3, he stood and measured the earth. He beheld, drove asunder the nations. And the everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills did bow. His ways are everlasting. Great Commission's not expired. Ten Commandments have not expired. God's eternal truths are still right where they've always been. And you and I, you pick up a newspaper, Jackson Sun or Commercial Appeal. You pick up Nashville Tennessean, pick up USA Today, pick up whatever you want to. You can read all kinds of things, and some of it will be one way today and another way tomorrow. But whenever you pick up what God has said, his mandates, they are forever the same. I love passages like Jesus Christ, yesterday, today, and forever, always the same. Hebrews 13, and I love that. In the midst of the years, you say, oh, but something crashed on me, something that I tried. I just totally bombed. Listen, God's mandates are still there. Latch on to them. Hang on to them. Build your life. Build your family. Build your business. Build everything that you do based on those eternal truths. Forgive me, but I dare you. I just dare you to try God. I dare you to put God to the test. If you look at chapter 2, we'll also learn that in the midst of the years, the definition of sin has not changed. Chapter 2, verse 9. Woe to him that coveteth, an evil covetousness to his house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the power of evil. Definition's not changed. Look at verse 12 in that second chapter. Woe to him that buildeth a town with blood and establisheth a city by iniquity. You start doing violent things to advance your cause, God says, woe. Look at verse 15 of that second chapter. Woe. I hammered on this liquor thing a little bit, but I tell you what, it does me good to hammer on liquor. Amen? I told somebody the other day, I said, I'm gonna get a hammer and nail some stuff. Amen? Amen. Verse 15 says, woe to him that gives his neighbor drink, that puttest thy bottle to him and makest him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. What's God telling us? From ancient times, he's telling us. Liquor, it's bad business. Look at verse 19. Woe unto him that saith to the wood, awake, to the dumb stone, arise, it shall teach. Behold, it is laid over with gold and silver, and there's no breath at all in the midst of it. These phony gods that people come up with. He said, there's no breath in them. They're not going to do anything. You can talk to them all day long. They're not going to talk back. Pray to them as much as you wish. They'll give you no answer. In the midst of the years, idolatry, immorality, intoxication, all of these things that are noted here, in the midst of the years. You may be 105. You may be just 5 or 55 in the midst. Whatever your age, in the midst of the years, listen, the definition that God gives about sin, it has not changed. And you and I don't need to gloss it over. And then in the midst of the years, the enemy of God and the enemy of his people will rise up in opposition. Look at chapter 1 and verse 4. Right in the middle of the verse, it says, "The wicked doth compass about the righteous." You and I determined to do right. Old Scratch and some of his imps, they'll give us problems. Now, it's right here that the breakdown comes sometimes. Sometimes we say, "Oh, listen, man, I've put up with all kinds of stuff. I've fought the battles, and I'm just tired. I'm tired fighting." Well, don't quit fighting. The minute you quit fighting, the devil and some of his hordes of emissaries, they're gonna wait in on you. You let them park in your driveway, they'll be in the house before you know it. And what he's saying here is, they're going to compass you about if you give them space. We cannot do that. We cannot, not at mid-age, not at retirement age, not at any time. We just got to remember, we do right, and the enemy of God becomes our enemy, and he will rise up in opposition. Look at chapter 1, verse 13. In the midst of the years, you and I better not get offended. Take offense. Let's look at verse 13. "Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and cannot look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he." Brother Savage, you other pastors, if you've been at this very long, you could, if you would, you could tell me some heartbreaking stories of somebody who let something happen, and they took offense, and they're not in Sunday school now. They don't show up on Wednesday nights now. They're not here on Sunday. They're not here at all anymore. Why? Because they let a hurt. I mean, it didn't just cut them till they bled. I mean, it cut them so deep that they balked. They got on the sidetrack somewhere, and they do not any longer. I mean, they're not praying. They're not getting blessed of God. Why? Because they took offense. The world we live in, spinning out of control. Devil walking about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I'm telling you, he can bring hurt. He can. I mean, the Bible says the same afflictions that are in the world can be visited upon our brethren. He said, "But I want to serve God, but I don't want the heat and the hurt." There is heat that comes with it, and sometimes there's hurt that comes with it. And you and I need to get strong enough. We need to get deep enough with God. We need to get on board enough with God that nobody can trample us down and make us want to quit. In the midst of the years, we must not take offense. There's probably some others here, but here's one more. Look at chapter 2 and verse 4. Chapter 2 and verse 4, he says, "But the just shall live by his faith." Well, you know, the just is not talking about somebody who's doing everything perfectly. When the Bible talks about the just, it's talking about somebody that God has declared to be just. When we come to Christ, we're guilty. I mean, we are guilty dogs. We're sinners of all sorts of kinds. But when we come to Christ, guilty even though we are, he declares us to be innocent. I mean, by a judicial fiat of heaven, we are declared just. In God's eyes, we're just. Now, you say, "What do we do now?" Well, the just shall live by faith. What does that mean? That means we're going to believe God. That means we're going to take note of what God says, and we're going to believe him. If he tells us we can do something, we can do it. If he promises a blessing, we know that we can take advantage of that. We live by faith. We trust him. We walk with him. And Habakkuk looked at his nation, and a lot of this had gone missing in the midst of the years. Excitement waned, fervor faded, Energy was being spent elsewhere. And in the midst of that, people live and die and go to hell, and many of them without ever having been told. Folks here at Bethel, it's not just activity that we're into. It's not just, well, we need to get everybody involved. No. If that's what you think is going on when Pastor or Brother Gray or somebody tries to enlist you, that's not what we're into. No. Every piece of the Bethel puzzle has a reason that can impact somebody for eternity. Every little piece of it. Pastor made the announcement about nursery, made the announcement about ushers, made the announcement about choir. I mean, all of these things. Every bit of it fits in to a puzzle that may make the difference for somebody who otherwise would miss heaven. But because, I mean, we just, during the pandemic, we do what we can do. During all of the stress and frustration and all that, we do exactly what we can do. But as things open back up, we can do more. We can plug in. We can do the things that we ought to do. So Habakkuk said, "Oh Lord, revive thy work. Revive thy work. Get us back. Get us on track. And make yourself known. And please remember mercy." See, what's all this about? I think he is saying to them and saying to us, in the midst of the years, let's don't let the lights dim. In the midst of the years, let's don't start to coast. In the midst of the years, let's restir the embers. Some of you have gone out camping, build you a campfire. You sit around it for a little while. Next thing you know, I mean, the fire's going down. You got to put more wood on the fire. Stir it up. Restir those embers. Relight the fire. I mean, rewind that old clock. Get it running again. Reset the agenda. Reload the gun. Say, well, we fired the gun. Load it, and fire it again. Say, man, I preached my heart out last Sunday. Well, do it again this week. Man, we knocked on every door in our city in the last 5 years. Do it again. You say, we're in the midst of the years. Yeah, we are. But we don't have to give in to those years. And Habakkuk said to his people, and it's here in the Bible for us. He said, "Oh Lord, I've heard thy speech and was afraid." We need the fear of God. It's missing, by and large, in America, but we need it. And he said, "Oh Lord, and revive thy work in the midst of the years." And then he repeats it. "In the midst of the years, make known and remember mercy." Well, maybe I'm preaching to the choir, so to speak, because after all, you folks are here, and those of you that are on camera with me, you're watching. But let's not let it happen to us. Let's determine in our town, in our city, we're going to be up and running. We're going to stay torqued. I mean, there may be folks who will hate us. In fact, they will. But we're not going to take offense. We're not going to get bent out of shape. We're not going to let them set the agenda. We're not going to take their intimidation. We're just going to keep walking with God. We're going to get up. We're going to rejoice. We're going to sing the great songs. We're going to preach like a wild man. We're going to do the things that we believe God would have us to do, even in the midst of the years. Dear Lord, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for Brother Savage and his church and for the privilege that we have here to get together once a year and to have some good times and stir up things again. For these other brethren that are here, for them, their churches, their ministry, dear God, we pray for all of them. Help them to have heart. Help them to be strengthened in the midst of the years. And dear Lord, bless now my brother, Brother Harper, as he comes to preach in a moment of the music that will be done. And give us, I pray, what we need tonight. We're a hungry people, and we want to be fed. In Jesus' name, amen.